become aware to you.
All right. Oh, let's see where to start. So, the gist of this is going to be about the renewing of your mind. But I always wonder, what does that entail? Why do you do it? How do you go about it? Because we talk so much about our identity here, and we live a lot out of our identity. I mean, you just start to slowly see yourself react differently, and when someone says something, you go, no, I'm not going to accept that. However, then these things pop up. And so, take for example, you're working with a group of people, and you're all working really hard, and you all contribute, and you say the boss recognizes one person out of your group and like rewards them and gives them kudos, and instantly you go, wow, I must not be good enough.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that come from? If I'm living out of my identity, where does that come from? Mm. So the premise of it is, with the science behind it, is these things get hardwired into your brain.
They do.
So words or events in your life, if you start to think on them a lot, it actually, like in the conscious part of your brain, it actually goes down into your non-conscious part of your brain. And then when stimulus comes at you, it triggers those responses from your past.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. So the whole renewing of your mind, I always thought that's a wonderful idea and concept. Well, how do you go about it?
How do you do it?
Why do you do it?
Right.
And what's the procedure?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and what's really cool is that science is now catching up with the Bible.
Yes.
Right. It's true.
Yes. So there's always been debate on, is it the brain controls the mind, or does the mind control the brain? Mm-hmm. And because we're thinking beings, and our thinking actually controls matter, our brain is part of the matter. So our mind controls our brain.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so kind of the science behind it is, when you have a thought, it sends signals to the DNA in your brain, and then the DNA expresses proteins.
Mm.
Yeah, so it becomes a physical manifestation. It creates matter and like brain real estate.
Oh, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Brain real estate.
And then we, because of our thought life, we can actually create a toxic environment in our brain or a healthy environment in our brain, depending upon our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the proteins, when you have thoughts, your proteins actually group together to create these little trees. Mm-hmm. So they've done brain imaging, and it looks like little trees. So let's see. So we get to decide if our forest is green and lush, or it looks like a forest fire went through there.
Good picture.
Right, that is a great picture.
Yeah. Current research shows that 75% to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral issues come from our thought life.
Wow. Say that again.
75% to 98%
Wow.
That's huge.
Yes, mental, physical, and behavioral issues. So if we can control that thought life, we can actually improve our behavioral issues, our mental issues, and physical.
Right.
Healing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And emotional.
Hmm? Yeah, emotional. Yes. Mental, emotional.
I couldn't help but comment. So I remember reading a study that was done where they wanted the studying the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was interesting was they did studies where they, certain medications, so they do with all the kinds of medications, do a double-blind study.
Yeah, right.
What they found was, like, in some medications, like, they replace it with sugar pills, and so it did nothing, but it still actually had an effect.
Right.
Which was, kind of weird. It's like, it's...
How does that happen?
Well, how does it happen also, too, then that medication did nothing, but if the sugar worked... But anyway, it was interesting.
They believed, right?
It was kind of like, believe they were fixed, so they got fixed.
They believed that. They had hope.
Yeah. So, I mean, what happens in our, when we have toxic thoughts to our DNA?
Mm.
What causes proteins to make toxic thoughts? What they have found is, stress is a huge factor on disease.
Stress.
I know. like my example of, well, I'm not good enough. That puts my body into a state of stress, you know, because it's not a good thought. You know, it's, oh, I'm a horrible person. You know, I'll never get recognized. Your DNA actually compresses. And so when the proteins try and express themselves, they're kind of malformed.
They're imprisoned.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That's good.
Yes. Now, interesting thing is, so people think, well, you know, what about when I get in a car accident, or, you know, my coworker calls me, you know, lazy. You know, you can't control those external events and circumstances. But what they found is if you can control the way you react to it, you can actually keep your body out of a state of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So don't react.
No, it's the way you react.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You know, so in that situation where I'm, you know, in a meeting and my boss congratulates my one coworker but ignores me, and I go,
right.
Well, I'm not good enough, that's a negative reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So if I react differently, and that's what this whole renewing of your mind is, it's actually getting rid of those toxic thoughts and changing your reactions to your circumstances and events. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control.
What version is that?
Amplified. Okay. So basically, our thoughts and our choices in life can change the structure of our brain. Yes.
So as a man thinks.
Right.
Oh, good verse.
Yeah, actually that's in here. Yeah, so actually changing the structure of your brain is called scientifically epigenetics.
Uh-huh.
Epigenetics. Yeah. So really, really basic. Your genes are in a dormant state. So, okay, here's an example. Type 2 diabetes. Say it runs in your family.
Right.
If type 2 diabetes,
yeah.
If it runs in your family. Okay, here's an example of epigenetics and in emotion. You're born with that gene shut off. It's dormant.
Hmm.
But based on your thought life and your choices of your diet and lifestyle, you can actually switch it on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your genes are not your destiny.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's
yes.
Good.
Oh,
good
that's
one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of these, the DNA, you know, when you send off your saliva, to,
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh, you have the possibility
yeah.
of blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right, right,
yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Your genes are not your destiny.
That's a good thing.
So type 2 diabetes. Say it runs in my family, which it does, but I'm not going to, based on my choices of lifestyle, my diet,
right.
and my thought life, I could actually keep that switched off.
Right. So good.
Say you had it switched on. You can actually switch it off, too. Because of epigenetics, because of your choices in lifestyle, diet, and
that's
your
cool.
thought life.
Mm.
Yes. Let's see. So, when you're switching on and off these genes, and you're changing your brain structure, the brain was used to be thought of as hardwired, doesn't change.
Right.
Well, they've actually come to find out it is actually pliable. And the word they use for it is neuroplasticity.
That's okay.
Yeah, so you can rewire your brain because
right.
it's neuroplastic. You can actually mold it and change it. Mm-hmm. And you can, of course, mold it to the bad side or you can mold it to the good side. And spiritually, using neuroplasticity to rewire the negative out is called renewing of your mind. Romans 12.
Mm-hmm. 12,
right.
Or
right.
Al-
yes.
also calling those things that are not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As though they were.
As though they were.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, our brain's very, our mind is very powerful. So kind of some of this book talks about a kind of a steps to go through to actually renew your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you can do is bring memories up. And when you actually bring a memory up, it comes up. In your from your non-conscious to your conscious brain in a vulnerable state.
Mm.
The physical substrate is weakened.
Yeah.
So you can actually manipulate.
Oh, so like when you, so like when you have an encounter with the Lord, we can go revisit that encounter.
Yes,
right.
Yes, part of the steps are revisiting. So I have a God did that for me in a kind of one moment thing. I was meditating with him, and he decided to bring up a particular memory for me when I was in the seventh grade. And some of you have heard this, because I was such a life-altering thing, I shared it with you. So he brought up this memory in the seventh grade. I had a school teacher, and I'm not going to say his name, but he intercepted a note coming from a boy that was across the room. He intercepted it, and he decided to read it in front of the whole class.
Sure.
Yes. Seventh grade, you know, pass a note. Mm-hmm. I like you. So he read it in front of the entire class, and I was mortified. Humiliated beyond belief. And I hated that man from that point on until about 2 years ago. I hated that man until about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
From the seventh grade until
a
couple years ago. So God brought this memory up in this meditation. And you end up reliving the emotions and stuff,
sure.
And he's getting all through it. And at the end, God actually showed me, he took that memory and he changed it.
Yeah.
He changed it to, he showed me what this teacher's motivation was behind it. It was actually a very positive motivation. He thought it was really sweet. He liked me. He thought it was going to be an encouraging thing.
Right.
Wow.
So the when God brought up that memory, it's in this vulnerable state, and he was able to change it and manipulate to what his word says.
There's that word meditate that you just used. Haga, that in the Old Testament, the Hebrews.
They would
basically do what you just did. So meditation, you know, we've always had this thing, empty your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's actually just the opposite, right? Yeah,
I'll
get into that.
Okay.
Yes. So how do we use neuroplasticity? Neuroplasticity is actually a really God-given design.
Mm-hmm.
That we can, one way we can do that. So if you're going to use it in the positive way, Philippians 4:8, the Amplified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word,
right,
whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So that kind of goes back to the non-conscious, as to have God's word implanted in your mind or your brain. You think on this continually.
Yeah, there you go.
And so your conscious part of your brain then is starting to wire the non-conscious part of your brain.
Yep.
And then that's actually going to be part of you.
That's good.
How do you stay focused on Philippians 4:8, thinking on these things? He's also given us that power too. He's given us the ability to capture our thoughts, these rogue thoughts. We can actually trap them and bring them to comply with Christ. Yeah, we've been given the ability to kind of almost stand outside of ourselves and monitor our thinking.
Oh, so good.
Mm-hmm. So that is 2 Corinthians 10:5, our passion. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one.
Right.
And then Proverbs 4:20-22. These are healing words from, listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being.
Whoa, that's a good one.
So as you're meditating on the pure, lovely things of God, and it's getting wired into your non-conscious, and you can capture all those rogue thoughts in the process, then to really go deep is you do directed rest, or introspection, or meditation, or prayer. What that does, so Adolf will really understand this. So when you go into a meditative state, you're not emptying your mind.
Right.
You're actually kind of, your body looks like it's slowing down, but as you go into meditative state, your non-conscious brain's activity heightens. And that's actually the realm that we connect with God in. Mm.
Whoa, could you repeat that?
As we go into a meditative state, physically it looks like we're slowing down, but on a non-conscious level, which that's most of your brain activity is non-conscious, that activity level is going up.
Spirit realm.
The spirit realm, and that's where you connect with God.
And so, you know, so when you're in, when you compete, let's say you're a boxer, the same thing happens mentally, these things slow down.
Yeah.
You slow down and you're becoming, I can't explain it. Yeah, you're becoming like this unbelievable awareness, I'll say that.
You're probably tapping into some of that non-conscious.
Yeah.
I have a testimony about
that.
Mm-hmm. Just this last week, and I was leaving work, and I ran into the grocery store, grabbed a few things, and I'm standing in line. Like, they had two lines open, and there's a bunch of people there. So now I'm standing in line, and so you're waiting, and after a little bit, it's like I just start feeling sad, alone. Like, I even heard, like, you're all alone. You know, and like this emptiness, just this not connected. And I just thought, wait a minute. So I know that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And I start just like really looking at the people all around me. And I didn't see anything, you know, manifest or anything, but that feeling was there. And so I stepped into that realm and I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to partner with you. And just here without me saying anything, like I just turned my thoughts, my affections, my, you know, like just all my internal everything into that realm. And I was just standing in that line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, like, minutes, you know, I was just doing this and just like reliving his goodness,
mm-hmm.
his character. This is the truth. This, and mm-hmm. like it's emanating. I could feel it was like this slow motion, like emanating from me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those feelings just kind of dissipated. And so I, you know, I wasn't an encounter with any person, but it was exactly what you're saying.
Wow. Yeah. Do you notice you were able to have that ability to step outside of your thoughts and go, why am I feeling this?
Yeah.
Why are these thoughts coming in?
Right.
Yeah. It's like he's given this ability to step outside of ourselves.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So a scripture that goes along with that is Psalms 46:10. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God.
Ha!
That's
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
So, really what it boils down to is we have to understand that some of your responses, when they're not in line with who God says you are, it's something you have to address. Because you need to rewire.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that, you know, these external stimuli come at you and you have these instant responses. It's kind of a clue. You need to address those things. So there's actually five steps you can kind of facilitate. This is one way to do it, but she recommends these five steps to actually kind of go through detoxifying your brain and these toxic thoughts. And
these toxics.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic.
Who's the she?
Oh, I'm sorry. Carolyn Lee.
Oh,
switch
yeah.
on your brain.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so she recommends you do kind of 21 days. So the steps are, you would gather. So you want to become aware of your environment,
mm-hmm.
the thoughts. You know, where is the stimuli coming from? Is it inside or is it external? You know, where are they at? So kind of ask yourself, you know, why am I sensing this?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Because nothing has changed in your environment.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you're just standing in line at this grocery
right.
store. So you kind of gather that information. And then you would do focused reflection. So that's kind of where you go into your meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. you want to catch those thoughts, and you kind of, then you, that's kind of what you did. You caught them, and they almost kind of went into that place, that meditative state, to address them. Mm-hmm. God rewired them. One thing that's really powerful is if you write them down.
The bad thoughts?
No, well, actually, yes, the bad thoughts, and then the good thoughts that he's giving you, the solutions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because when you go from your thought and you actually are physically doing it, it kind of makes much more solid connections.
Yes. Yeah.
Then what you want to do is revisit. So you have those thoughts, you took them to God in this kind of meditative state, and then you actually revisit it, and he's telling you, this is what's going on.
Yeah, roar sets to rock.
Yes. Yeah, it makes the connections
yeah.
firm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what you want to do is what she calls an active reach. So then you start living out of the new rewired responses. So
an active?
Active reach.
Active. Is there like an example of?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, it's basically, so God gives you, so I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. he can give you maybe the truth of it. You are. He sees you as good enough. You, and he can give you scripture for that. You know, and then what you would want to do is actually live out.
Huh? I got
what,
an example.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then you actually live out what God has told you. You are good enough.
So when I first got saved, I didn't know all about this, but I would run, and whenever I would run, I would recite what God said about who I was,
mm-hmm.
that I'm seated with him in the heavenly realm, that I'm his son, that I'm a citizen of
so
heaven.
So that's the place for the declarations then, is basically what
right,
you're saying,
you're
right?
Because you're rewiring yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're seeing it.
And that's
you're
what it is, that's
head.
The active reach,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay. Yeah. Then you start actually living out what God has told you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so. Okay.
So, let's see. I'll just read this little thing. Stop and think each day. God made us to take time each day to pull all of our focus on him in our life, to think deeply about what is working and what is not working and what needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
These moments of thinking deeply and reflection are one of the most powerful things we can do for our brains and our lives.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the time to deeply think and focus on something, you are changing your brain and creating new neural pathways to make that a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are not practiced in noticing their own thoughts, and therefore let them run all day long and react to them. It takes practice to be able to stop and notice your thoughts and change them.
That is so good.
Yes. And yeah, throughout her book, a lot of the scriptures she pointed to was, where was it? I wrote it down. Is it James? As a man, yeah. No, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks, so is he.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That all
that
though.
Yeah, there's actually a lot more in the book, but
yeah.
I thought
yeah.
going into quantum physics was a bit deep.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like one more. What comes out of a man's heart, or have you heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
abundant
to
the heart.
Yeah,
from
the abundance.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, there's so much.
You hear people
scripture.
Say, oh, I didn't mean that. And then I go, no, you didn't mean that, because that came out of there.
Yeah.
I just mean, you know, I can.
No, it's interesting, because
yeah.
I always like the thought of renewing your mind, but it's like, how did you go
yeah.
about it? And,
so
and
right.
honestly,
good.
God has sprinkled it throughout his entire word on how to do it, how to go about it, what
right.
its results are.
That's good.
So,
abuse.
Okay. All right. I just say, Holy Spirit, I just want you to go in and touch
right.
everybody's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Give them the ability to notice the thoughts yeah. that are running rampant, and have them capture those thoughts and bring it to your son.
Yeah.
And give them the inspiration,
mm-hmm.
the nudging, and the knowledge of how they need to change the way that they think to come in alignment with who you say they are. And
mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see the results. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve.
Awesome.